Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The truth is, you know, all of us have that little kid who doesn't want to do their homework buried inside somewhere.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. And that's Alexandra Samuel. She's an expert in getting people to do tasks they simply prefer putting off to another day. You know what I'm talking about, that to-do list, especially for things at work, which just keeps getting longer and longer. And when you do succeed in checking off one item, you think about another one or two to add. One step forward, two steps back.
It's just the nature of the beast, basically, what it is. I don't care from clerk to producer, you're going to have the emails. It's a must.
The menial tasks where you don't really use your brain as much, so something like data entry, you're not thinking. It's not exciting, not using your brain.
It's just every year they come up with a new form to sign. So it ends up being a lot of paperwork.
For me right now, it's doing evaluations of my direct reports and my own self-evaluation. I know they're important, but man, do I keep finding ways to put them off. Which is where Alex comes in. She's the author of Work Smarter, Rule Your Email. And she also wrote the article for the Harvard Business Review called How to Trick Yourself into the Tasks You Dread. And even she admits there are things that she hates to do.
It's a long list, I'm afraid. You know, I'm not a great one for those routine, boring tasks. So I have a really hard time with, you know, just that inbox clear out or, you know, catching up on thank you notes, that sort of thing. And then, you know, the other kind of task I think a lot of us dread is sometimes things that aren't necessarily boring, things that might be really interesting, like writing a report or putting together a PowerPoint presentation that you care about, but where that first step is so daunting. You know, it might be that you're anxious about getting the report done, or it might just be that, you know, getting started feels so overwhelming.
To get started and keep going, Alex actually turns to her kids.
One of the things that's interesting to me as a parent now is that, you know, of course, we are often encouraged to use reward charts with our kids. But somehow as adults, there's this idea that you shouldn't need a reward chart.
So she created a reward chart for big people, and she's come up with four different types of awards that get her through the day. The first one is what she calls a regenerative award.
You know, whenever you're doing something that you don't want to do, it's really good to think about how you're going to replenish yourself when you're done. And so a regenerative reward is simply a reward that helps refill you by doing something you actually do enjoy, and ideally something that's, you know, going to give you some emotional calm and peace and satisfaction. For a lot of people, it's some kind of physical activity, whether it's a walk or a yoga class or a dance break at your desk. And I think for others of us, it might be refueling physically with a healthy snack or even, you know, just sitting and meditating for a few minutes.
Then there's what she calls a productive reward, which she describes as anything you enjoy doing but is also work.
One person's delight is another person's dreaded task. So for me, I like to save my blogging for after I've done some of my grunt work. Because for me, it's really a treat to sit down and spend an hour writing. In fact, it's both a productive reward and a regenerative reward. But for other people, that writing is the thing that they're dreading, and they might look forward to a meeting with a colleague they really like. Maybe you have something you have to discuss, but it's also somebody you really enjoy spending time with. That's a great productive reward. Schedule that for mid-morning after you've already done some of the stuff you just have to get out of the way.
Okay, regenerative and productive awards. Those are things you can look forward to, things to get you started. But what if, like me, you've got hours of emails that you need to get through and you just can't imagine actually getting through them?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, there are a lot of dreaded tasks that take very little attention but just have to get done. And if you're tackling one of those, then think about what else you could be doing at the same time that would make it fun for you.
She calls this a concurrent reward.
So maybe it's a matter of doing that task at your favorite Wi-Fi enabled restaurant so that you can eat something delicious while you're compiling your expense report. Or maybe you get together with a friend and chat while you clear out your inbox. My own personal weakness is I do a lot of my boring work in front of the TV, and I actually keep a separate task list in my task manager called Do This While Watching TV, and anything that I know is kind of a brain-dead task but has to get done goes on that list, and then, you know, when I want to catch up on Grey's Anatomy, I have an excuse for doing so because at the same time, I'm going to empty my inbox or submit that expense claim.
Of course, there's a danger in following her advice, and I've done it. Missed scenes from some of my favorite shows. So she's got some advice on that, too.
I actually do have a blog post about this exact subject, namely recommending which TV shows work well as multitasking. Basically, I will describe Shonda Rhimes as the goddess of multitasking. So, you know, Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, you know, basically Thursday night is an awesome time to do all of those tedious tasks.
Finally, on her big reward chart for adults, there is cumulative, and I'll let her explain.
Cumulative rewards are kind of like that deferred gratification where you're doing something you don't like, it's or something that's really hard over an extended period of time, and so you're going to pay yourself every day that you do it, or you're going to promise yourself a big reward when you get that big job done. And again, that's another really powerful way of getting yourself to do something that's hard to do or that you don't like doing.
But here's the tough question. All of these suggestions, do they work for Alex?
Well, you know, even with all of this in place, there's still those occasional tasks that get neglected. And I actually, since writing that piece for HBR, I've added one more tool to my arsenal, which is I actually have created a task list called Avoid These Tasks. Because I just realized that there are some tasks I just avoid so intensely that it's worth calling them out. It almost psychologically releases me from that daunting, you know, sense of ongoing guilt that I haven't gotten it done. And ironically, and I kind of had a hunch this is how it would work, putting things on my avoid this list has actually made me more inclined to do them just because it's like they're sitting there and I just want to get them done. So one of the things on my avoid list is make a will. Well, how did that end up on my avoid list? Who likes thinking about dying? I mean, the whole reason we haven't gotten around to making a will is because we feel very conflicted about the guardianship stuff for our kids, and I just hate thinking about it. But I actually have made some progress since I put it on the avoid list, although, you know, our plan A is still don't die.
In the end, whatever reward, whatever trick you use to get started on those projects you just don't want to do, think about how it'll feel, how less anxious you'll be once you get to check them off your list.
The particular value of getting through the tasks you dread is that, you know, as those dreaded tasks accumulate on your to-do list, it becomes harder and harder to look at any of your tasks because, you know, your task list just becomes this kind of dungeon of guilt and aversion. And the more you develop habits that let you knock those dreaded tasks off in a timely way, the less stressful it's going to be to get your work done overall.
Alexandra Samuel writes regularly for the Harvard Business Review and is the author of several books on mastering technology and social media. We have a list of Alex's four types of rewards to get you going at our website, moneytalking.org. Put that on your list of things to check out. I know for me, I use a variety of her suggestions, but whenever I start procrastinating, I think about what my mom used to always say whenever I felt overwhelmed by homework or whatever. Just start somewhere and begin chipping away at it. What about you? How do you get through your list? Send us your stories in a voice memo. Record yourself on your smartphone and then email it to us at moneytalking@wnyc.org. Or you can also find us on Twitter at moneytalking. We'd love to hear from you. From WNYC, I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking.